Pray that what we what I have to say here today would bring you glory and honor, and that we would grow in wisdom and understanding of you, Father. In your holy name, dear Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm talking about self-control, and just so you know, I have not perfected this, okay? I am working on it as well as everybody else. Well, I hope you're all working on it, self-control. It's a good thing. So I have a dictionary definition. I'm sorry, I took my inhaler this morning. It's gotten kind of jittery. It does that. I'm hoping it'll calm down shortly. But a dictionary definition of self-control is the ability to control oneself, in particular one's emotions and desires, or the expression of them, in one's behavior, especially in difficult situations. In Titus 2:5, the verse that contains that, that's the verse that contains about self-control. Older women are to teach younger women to be self-controlled, that the word of God may not be reviled. And reviled can mean attacked, criticized, harmed, or dishonored. We need to be able to regulate and keep ourselves in control, our passions, desires, and impulses. You know, I think I'm just going to read it. I wrote it. I can add stuff. We all know what being out of control looks like, and I certainly am very well aware of what out of control looks like. And Whitney, you're going to find out what it's like when people are out of control. And these are not godly people, typically. But we know what it looks like when with children. Their temper tantrums, or a husband and wife yelling at each other, that's definitely out of control. Fights at a playground, fights at football stadiums, those are an outward lack of control. Hopefully most of us are working more on the inner control. Good. Examples of inward lack of self-control would be internal dialogue of disappointment in someone else or yourself. Rather than saying something bad, you keep it to yourself, but if you were to verbalize it, that would be spitting poison at them, and it would be hateful words. Also, a depressive attitude or self-pity is a lack of self-control as well. Self-pity, that's a good one to work on. How can we change this lack of control in our lives? It's just like learning an art, a sport, a language, how to cook, how to care for children, how to drive. It's actually an action, whether it's an internal thing or an external thing. It's an action. You have to do it. So you have to practice it. 1 Corinthians 9:24-7 says, uses a foot race as an example of self-control or discipline. The athlete exercises discipline in all things. The runner runs with the prize in mind. It's not casual or with a wandering mind. And I will read that when I get to it. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I was a distance runner, which was very helpful in being a police officer, because when you have to run for 15 feet and then fight with somebody, you better be able to run. Well, I think back to when I started distance running. Boy, it's just like what I was experiencing this last week. You run for like, if you've never done it before, it's hard. So you run like 20 feet and you can't breathe. So I used to train that way. I'd run so many steps. So I'd count my steps, then I'd walk so many steps, and then run so many and walk so many. So eventually, you're going to build up your lungs, which need to be built up, and you build up your heart so that they all work well together. And I'm trying to do the Stairmaster. You all know I had my knees and hips both replaced in the last 3.5 years. And I'm on the Stairmaster. The first day I went on it, it's like, oh, wow, I could do 8 minutes. Yeah. You build up your endurance. It's painful and frustrating, just like learning self-control, external and internal. It took me a few years to build up my body for running, so that after a while, a 5-mile run was just nothing. I'd go out and run and come back and I'm done. It's great. Then I started training for a marathon. By having a practice schedule, I knew what I needed to do, and I knew what I needed to do, and then that's what I did. So I had run a whole bunch of 5K races, 10K races, half marathons, and a marathon, and all kinds of other races, just loads of races. And at work, people ask me how I did that, and so I showed them how I did it. They would run with me, I'd show them what to do, and then some of them became runners too. When I worked at Honeywell, a bunch of us would go out at lunchtime and run together. So teaching somebody how to run is kind of like teaching somebody how to be a believer. You have to give them specifics. You know, you don't just say, okay, now you're good. No, you gotta tell them what to do. So in running, there's a community. It's just nothing like this kind of community. This kind of community is wonderful. But my training schedule consisted of a ramping up of miles every week. Monday, 5 miles, Tuesday, 8 miles, Wednesday, 5, Thursday, 15, Friday, 5 miles, Saturday, 15. Sunday was a rest day. Each day built on the other. Eventually, my training schedule was, these are miles, 8, 10, 8, 15, 8, 25, something like that. I had a plan. So you have to have a plan. It's, I think that's why in the Bible there's this discussion of a runner running for something. We are running for something. We're running to get to the end and have God look at us and say, welcome, good and faithful servant. So the plan for me, because I want that, I want my day to be always for God, what I do, what I say, and what I think. So my plan is I read my Bible daily, pretty much daily. And I read all of God's word, not just pick and choose. So I read it from the beginning to the end, every year, a couple times. So I have that plan. I also read other books to help me understand God's word, because I sure didn't get it. Oh my gosh, I started reading King James, and it's like, I can't even figure out what the sentence is. You know, it's so weird. And then I gather with other believers during the week, like here. I hear God's word preached and taught on Sunday. And I pray without ceasing. It's like a continual conversation with my God and Savior. So that's kind of like a running plan. That's the way I see it. And yes, I consider it a training. So you can bet, I don't know, maybe you don't know this about me, but when I do stuff, I like do it to the nth degree. I don't like to do things weekly. So in a weak way, that is. Weekly, I do things weekly, but not in a weak way. I want to be strong. And I want that in God's word, and in my life, and everything. So I have my training schedule to grow in God. Yes, okay, I see where I went with that. All right. And I ask for strength. Spiritual and physical strength. I pray to my Savior when people oh yeah, these are just things that I constantly do. I pray to my Savior when people that need help come to mind. I express my awe and wonder As I experience living on the world that he created, which I love, I rejoice in the Lord, expressing my gratitude for my salvation in my present life. My present life, I can't believe I have friends. I can't believe you guys even like me. It's amazing. It's just the weirdest thing. I work on being content in all situations, no matter what happens. And this is all stuff I say in biblical counseling, too. Also, I remember my past. And I know my present, and this is far more wonderful than I've ever had. And I trust him that everything that comes my way is absolutely yes, it's his plan. Whatever it is, if I get cancer, if I break something, if I get sick, if I have to have all my limb joints redone or something, I know it's his plan and he's working on me. So I have to work on how I act when something bad happens. Trying to think of what the most recent bad thing was that happened. Oh, well, the cat. Our cat broke its leg. And I know that in the past, I probably would have been a screaming maniac, showing a total lack of control. I probably would have been angry with people around me because now I know that this large lump of money is going to go take care of a cat that I never wanted. I didn't want cats. But that's one thing. I was walking one day and thinking about the cats and how I didn't want any cats, but now we have six, and one of them broke its leg, and we had to spend like $4,000 to get that taken care of. And it was just easy. I didn't get upset. Not even a little bit. And that's usually the kind of thing that would just turn me crazy. And nope, didn't happen, and I was so glad. And then I thought, where was it? Asking, what have you not thanked God for? And I realized I had not thanked God for the kitties that he put in my life. So I did. I thanked God for the kitties. As a runner, I knew that if I stopped running, if I didn't put the work in and go out like every day, I would lose it. And then I would be back at that same thing of like, I can hardly do this on my legs. If you do that with your Bible reading and attending church and going to small group and prayer and, what's that little one? I never can remember five.
Memorizing scripture?
Memorizing scripture, yes. If I stop doing all of that stuff, I'll just start drifting back and away and away. And you have to keep yourself into God's word in all those ways, or you will drift away, and you can either go back to a crummy life that you used to have, or you'll get your good life that you have now, and it'll go back. Especially for young people going into the world, out of being in mom and dad's house, going out into the world, being a police officer, seeing the complete and true ugliness of sin full bore in your life. If you do not stay in God's word and with God's family and do all those things, you will drift away. And you could very well end up having a stinking rotten life until God comes and slaps you upside the head and says, what are you doing? Have you enjoyed this now? Can you come back to me? Turn to God and he will turn to you. Draw near. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. But in the Old Testament, it's always it. If you turn back to me, I will turn to you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. But don't turn away. That's not good. Not at all. With with self-control, there are some people here that I've seen. One of them is you. And I love how you can just like go through the pages of the Bible, just pick out scripture. And I just love that so much, and I wish I could do that. It's getting better. You know, I've read it a bunch of times now, and I still just can't find what I want. And I misquote junk all the time, but yeah. God knows my heart. But, yeah, I like that so much about you, Jolene, how you can just find scripture. That's so cool. I want that. I want that very much. And you have been an encouragement to me to try to know the scripture and figure out where the stuff is. And that's really neat. That's all of that, I figure, is all learning self-control. And you have to learn it. If you want to memorize scripture, you have to actually do it. If you want to have God's word in your head so that the nastiness isn't in there, you can recite scripture. And that's a way you learn self-control, to get rid of self-pitying thoughts, self-debilitating thoughts, negative thoughts about other people. Oh, they should have done that. They should have done that. They should have done that. That was wrong. But you need to get rid of that. And with memorizing scripture, you take out the bad stuff and you put in the good stuff. Because if you just try not to do it, it doesn't work. You have to actually have something that you put off and something you put on. So memorizing scripture is a way to self-control, to have self-control in your thinking. We learn self-control by doing. As we hear God's word, we read God's word, and live God's word, we learn how to change with God's help. In order to run, you must run. In order to live a life of fullness in Christ, you must be on a regular schedule of living in the presence of our God in all that we say, think, and do.
What?
What is that? Was it the table?
Sorry.
I'm half deaf now, so when I hear things, it's like, what is that? So I've learned a lot since I started doing biblical counseling, and one of the things I counsel people to do is to, if you think you're going to say something, it might be negative, you need to stop and think about what you're going to say and choose to either not say it or say it. So I do a lot of not saying in my house because I know these things that pop into my head, I know I shouldn't be saying that. And even walking around the house grumbling or mumbling to myself about stuff, oh, I hate that. Just always grumbling, but oh, it's gotten a lot better. When I notice I'm doing it, it's like, stop it. So then I start reciting Ephesians because I memorized all of it because I need that much help. But I'm very thankful for all you ladies that I know for being such great examples of how to behave and believe and to trust God and just be living, breathing examples of people that I never had any friends like this at all because I didn't live in this world. I lived out there. I like this one much more. This is great. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-control. God gave us the ability to be self-controlled. We just need to practice it. And if and when we fail, you just get up and start doing it again, asking for forgiveness, and just keep going. Yeah, we fail every day. I know I fail every day, many times in the day. But I know that God has forgiven me for my failure, and I don't give up. I was a long-distance runner. I don't give up. I will fight, and I don't give up. I was fighting. A guy, big guy, was going to punch out this guy at a gas station, and I popped my car up a curb and stopped, and then my car went, And the guy stopped in midair like this, and he looked at me, and I did this. I'm all by myself. So the big guy comes over to me, and I said, put your hands on my squad. And he did. He bent over and put his hands on the squad, and I said, put your left hand behind your back. And he did. And I put the cuff on one, and I said, put your right hand behind your back. And he goes like this. And I said, you don't know me. I'm going to win. And he just put it like that. That's determination.
Oh boy, yeah.
On the way to the jail, my squad car was just rocking back and forth, and he's screaming and yelling.
What you got?
When we got to the jail, the jailer opened the car door, and he said, did you let this little lady arrest you? That was not good. Oh. So then about six guys hauled this guy out of my squad car. I still remember that as if it was yesterday. It was so cool. Anyhow, determination. You can succeed in doing what you want to do in your life, changing things in your life. The things that you don't like, the internal negative thoughts, you can actually change that, but you gotta actually try. It's the determination of the runner. Galatians 5, 19 through 23 lists the works of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So there are things that we need to control in our lives, change from the works of the flesh to having the fruit of the Spirit. We need to control our anger, Ephesians 4:26, control our tongue, Ephesians 4:29, James 1:19 and 26, 3, 4 through 10, and 1 Peter 3:10. Control our thoughts, Philippians 4:8 through 9, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Control our words, Ephesians 5:4. Colossians 4:6, Proverbs 10:19, Matthew 15:11, and control our actions, 1 Corinthians 9:25. So God talks a lot up to us about having self-control. So there, you can do it. There are ways to do it. What were the ways again? Reading God's word, attending church on Sunday, I think I forget that one. Memorizing scripture. Reading your Bible, I said that.
Fellowship.
Oh, yes, fellowship. What did I miss? I can't remember what I missed.
You got five.
I got five. Okay.
Yeah.
But I repeated one.
No.
Okay. When we first come to know the Lord through salvation, all we know is that we have been saved, but by being imitators of God, Ephesians 5:2, by reading God's word, Deuteronomy 8:3, by learning God's word, Deuteronomy 6:9, and by being taught with God's word, 2 Timothy 3:16, we learn over time how to live self-controlled and a holier life, 2 Corinthians 3:18. I sure didn't know anything about how to live as a believer before I came here. I did not know what to do, and I was struggling. I couldn't control anything. I just knew that I could beat people up and I knew how to kill. Cool. That's my skill set. But coming here, I remember a community group, Kara, when Andy said, you scared me. And I said, yeah, but I got better, right? And he said, yeah. I was scary. And I think some of you might remember that. You remember?
I wasn't scared of you.
Rosemary.
But you never always.
You don't remember?
Yeah. I was scared of you.
Because God
Matthew.
Yeah, the Matthew.
Oh.
Yes. The permanent.
Do you think I could do this?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I didn't know how to live, even though I believed, I didn't know what to do. I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a church because I worked at night. I didn't read my Bible because, well, I could hardly keep my eyes open during the day. But with God's help, I have learned how to change by listening, watching, trying, failing. Before I started going to Mount Free here, I did struggle with so much. Hurt feelings, anger, worry, remorse, guilt, and hate. I had never belonged to a church. I didn't have friends. I didn't know God's word. I didn't have hope. The small belief I had was on very shaky ground. With God, and particularly with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can gain more self-control over time through doing. At first, we put an end to our big outward sins. Then we work on the inner sins. And then the inner sins that are revealed to us that we didn't even know we had. What is the biggest desire of your heart right now? Do you want to grow in holiness? We need to exercise self-control daily in our actions, thoughts, and words, and do our deeds. Growing in holiness does not just happen. You must actually act and use self-control. We also must desire to change. We need to stop before we do wrong. Think about what we are going to say, think, or do, and pray for God's strength and guidance. James 1 says we need to put away all filthiness and wickedness, that we must be doers of God's word and not just hearers, because those who do the word will be blessed in their doing. What I have learned about self-control is that at one time I had determined to be out of control. I didn't care what happened to me, and I left a great wake of destruction behind me. In a time of great anger and disappointment, I turned to God. Actually yelled at him. Like God has said so many times in his words, if you turn away from your sins and turn to me, I will be your God and you will be my people. Now I know that I want every aspect of my life to be lived for my God who saved me. Thoughts, words, and actions. I want to bring glory and honor to God in all that I think, say, and do. I praise God that he has changed many things about me, and I pray God continues to change me. In his strength, I exercise self-control. Salvation, sanctification, glorification. Amen. And there's this, on our sheets there for the questions, there's an article on the back, or part of an article, if we have copies of it, if anybody's interested in it.